This is a moment in Wine and Hip Hop, brought to you by Crew Love, blending wine and hip hop at the highest level.
Wine and hip hop, wine and music. Yo!
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's your man Jermaine Showtime Stone, aka the Wolf of Wine, aka the Zara Vibes, aka Young Thanos. So I'm just out here collecting Infinity Stones. Damn, if you've been following the journey, you see we've been picking up them Infinity Stones, man. You know, I'm glad to be back in front of this microphone. It's been a wild year, and we haven't dropped a podcast in a minute. I'm sure y'all been wondering where I've been at. I hope you know we've just been putting together a very, very special season for you guys, man. I'm really excited about all of the upcoming shows. You know, we stepped the brand up a whole different level, and we are stepping this show up a whole different level. So everybody that's tuned in right now, I greatly appreciate y'all. All of our supporters, I greatly appreciate y'all. I hope y'all know when I'm shouting out my wine and hip hop crew, I am not just talking about our immediate team. I'm talking about all of you guys. And really, I'm specifically talking about our podcast audience. Because, I mean, if y'all been following this journey for the last 7 years, you know that it started as just a podcast and has really grown so much. I could have never imagined where this thing was going to go, you know. I started this podcast as a way to be true to myself, express myself, and stay in front of my consulting clients. You know what I'm saying? The goal was never to be in the New York Times or on TV or anything like that. I really just wanted to put on for the culture. So it's beautiful to see that we still live in a real world where real things connect with real people. We started doing events as just a way to make people touch and feel this beautiful culture that we've been talking about. And now here we are doing events all over the world. We've been on so many tours, international, domestic, you name it. I'm actually heading back on the road for National Prosecco Week once again with one of my favorite partners, one of the most important wine regions in the world, Prosecco DOC. So July 17th, LA, I'm touching down. Chicago, July 19th, and I'm taking it back to NYC, the home, on July 22nd. And on those events, I'm just going to show you guys the magic and diversity of Prosecco. We're going to have wine and hip-hop pairings, have a little wine and hip-hop trivia. But more than anything, I'm going to bring y'all into Italian aperitivo culture. You know what I'm saying? We just sit back, vibe out, and enjoy a drink. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice little pre-meal drink. We're gonna get you started off for your night, but within that, you'll see the range and diversity of Prosecco. So many people think it's just a little something you enjoy at brunch. You might think it's something just for mimosas. Although it is great in all those situations, you can find so many amazing, well-made Proseccos. It just helps you appreciate the wine making. So make sure y'all pull up on those joints. LA, Chicago, New York, 17th to the 22nd of July. I'm in every city. For real, man, it's going down. Also, October 11th, and I'm telling y'all right now, just so you can make your plans, get your tickets together, I'm back on tour out in Europe in the fall. October 11th, I'm going to show y'all why my other AKA is Ron Burgundy. I'm going to be hosting an iconic celebration of Burgundy at the one and only Clos de Vougeot. Shoot us a DM or email us at info@crewlovewine.com for more info. I hope you can all make it. Get your passports ready because it's going down. I'm going to be back in the UK as well. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be crazy. Y'all got another wine and hip hop festival coming up, man. So I'm just extremely excited about the year. I'm extremely excited about this season. The guests on this season, dear Lord, man, it's really going down. I feel so proud about how this show has really stepped it up. This journey has been amazing, and it really would not be possible without any of you guys. It truly did just start with the podcast. So I'm becoming with that fire for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I've been talking about these events so much, I could not start this season and not bring y'all into how live it gets. I am extremely, extremely proud of today's show. This is from a live podcast. So if you was privileged enough to be in the building, you already heard this. but it was a very limited crowd, very limited seating. So I'm sure 99.9% of you have not. Now, of course, no disrespect to any other guests that we've had on, but I truly do feel like this was our biggest show to date for so many reasons. Not just the fact that it was live, but I had an absolute hip hop legend on this show. On today's episode, I got my man Styles P from The Lox. This show was so important to me for so many reasons. Big shout out to Styles for doing this. Big shout out to him for agreeing to do it live. I mean, this was a beautiful thing, man. And to be completely honest with you, I feel like I really walked away a better person from this interview, man. Yo, Styles, I'm sure you're gonna feel it on this episode, man, but this guy just exudes wisdom. It's like wisdom is just radiating off of him from the personal conversations that we had before the show, after the show, and most definitely on this interview. Like, this is an episode where I walked away a better person. He put me on the game about certain things that I'm doing in a way that I should move. But honestly, I walked away from this episode with a much more healthy mindset. If you know Styles, you know that he has been extremely passionate about bringing people into a more plant-based lifestyle. Vegan, plant-based, whatever y'all want to call it. I walked away from this episode so much more conscious about my health. But not only that, he was very open about his growth as a human. Now, I ain't gonna say that The Lox inspired me to do bad things, but it was definitely my soundtrack to the streets while I was in the streets. But just to hear him be so open about his growth as a human and the things that brought him to the point that he is was extremely inspiring. I hope you guys take something away from this. I was also really happy to feature wines from Le Fête du Rosé. It actually wasn't the Rosé, it was the Blanc de Blanc. I'm sure many of you guys know Le Fête du Rosé. Shout out to my man Dene Burstyn, first black winemaker in Provence, straight from Provence, the home of Rosé, and just a good brother overall, man. So shout out to Dene, thank you for the wines for this episode. I'm sure you'll hear how much Styles enjoyed it. I'm sure you'll hear how much the audience enjoyed it. The wine is extremely accessible and probably available where you at. So make sure y'all pick that up. Enjoy some great wine. Support a good brother. And shout out to Ludlow House, man. You know, part of Soho House Group for letting us host this event live. Shout out to my girl Tiana for linking this up. But this was an absolutely special episode. I'm proud to have been presenting this. And just know, we don't just stop here. The season gets crazier and crazier. So y'all make sure to stay tuned. I hope to see y'all pull up at some of these events, National Prosecco Week, some of the events in Europe, Wine and Hip Hop Festival this fall, and all of the surprises that we have coming up in the next few months. Shout to my man Eric Asimov in the New York Times. I'm still getting hit up about that profile. I mean, that was really a moment of a lifetime, man, and absolutely changed my life and pushed this brand forward. So 2023 has been interesting, and it's only going to get that much more interesting. So stay tuned. Now, without further ado, the first episode of the season, Wine and Hip Hop Live, featuring my dog, Styles P from The Lox. Let's get it. Welcome, guys, and thank you all for joining us. Let's hear it for yourselves. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Also, let's hear it for Mr. SP the Ghost right here. Legend, legend, legend. But you guys are here at Wine and Hip Hop Podcast. We are hosting this live tonight. This is a very special and rare occasion for so many reasons. I am your host, Jermaine Showtime Stone, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wine, a.k.a. the Czar of Vibes, a.k.a. Young Thanos, because I'm just out here collecting Infinity Stones. And you guys are part of this. Welcome to Wine and Hip Hop, and welcome, Mr. Styles P.
Love is love.
Yes, yes. So, you know, we are extremely privileged to, one, have you on the show, and to also just have you in this game, all the contributions that you've made. When you think about your contribution to hip hop, you think about the Locks actually living off experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. So I grew up in hip hop. I've gotten so many jewels from your music. Now, I feel like there's a bar that you said, and niggas done started something. You said,
sitting at the table planning, plug the fan in, let the sweat dry off and then grab the cannon. Think the smartest and retaliate the hardest, regardless if you a thug or a rap artist.
You know what I'm saying? Now that line is about patience and calming yourself down in the moment and not reacting in the heat of the moment. You know, now, but I think about you as an artist and like Styles, y'all know Styles P, the hardest rapper out.
Fuck all these niggas. If you ask me who, I answer back anybody you can think of. I'm SP, bitch. I'm the boss of the boss. I talk arrogant to me and God link up.
Now I look at your growth as a businessman, as an entrepreneur in this game from niggas done started something all the way back in 98. Can you talk about your growth from that guy to this guy here now?
As you get older, you mature, you get wiser. If you're not growing, I guess at one point in time in my life that, you know, sometimes your past makes you who you are in the present and directs where you're going in your future. So I always work on reflecting back on the old me and seeing what I could do to be a better me. When you become a father, a family man, a husband, you start thinking about how you could become better. And as you work on how to become better, that's an everyday thing, and practice makes perfect. So I never looked at it until a few years ago when people kept approaching me, hey, we love your growth, we love your growth. I feel like in life, we all supposed to just keep growing and try to be a better person. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be in hip hop throughout my life, and it brought me to other stages that I didn't see coming for myself. Like I didn't see me owning juice bars and a pharmacy for life, becoming an author, certain things. But as you start noticing you're growing and you're changing, you're supposed to embrace it, keep working on it. That'll probably be something I work on to the day I'm in the dirt. You know what I mean? You're supposed to want to grow. You don't want to keep going through the same bullshit you've been through in the past. You want to advance. Know that you're going to go through some things, but do the best you can to become a better individual.
Yeah. What are some of the, like, can you kind of pinpoint a specific moment where you was like, yo, you know what? Like with health, for example, you know, especially now, the fact that being a vegan is such a big part of your lifestyle. What was the turning point moment that was like, yo, you know what?
It was like a few moments in one. I'm fortunate enough to have a great wife that was concerned about the way I'm eating and what I'm doing on the road and getting home and make sure I eat correct. Then I was also, I looked at it as I was privileged enough from hip hop to move to an affluent neighborhood. And then when I moved to an affluent neighborhood, I noticed the difference in the groceries, the supermarkets, the schools, the places you go. So it made me kind of look at it in a sense of that where I'm from, we don't look at health in a certain way. We look at it like it's for rich people. Even in black communities, I felt like we looked at it as like for the, you know, the rosters do the health and everybody else is just on the side. So I started looking at it from a different point of view of saying, I'm fortunate enough to have people who care for me. I'm fortunate enough to see the difference in the supermarkets where I'm from. And I also was passionate about making a change for myself. And going to the juice bar, I noticed, was changing me for a better. Changing me for the better. So I started to become really passionate about just looking at life from that POV also.
Yeah, it's major. I got to say, so with you changing your lifestyle like that, and this is something I see a lot also with wine, you know, me trying to put my homeboys onto wine. Some of my people's like fall right into it. But I definitely have some brothers that's just not with it whatsoever. So, like, do you experience any pushback like that with, like, your circle?
I think everybody experiences pushback, but it's how you accept the pushback. People are always pushed back into something they're not immediately on or informed in. You know, So you have to lead by example and not really worry about the pushback. Almost everything you do in life, you're going to get pushback. But if you let that control you and how you go about things, that'll stagnate you and get in the way you want to get. So I'm not the type of guy to really worry about pushback. I'm worried about me pushing forward instead of worrying about you pushing back. And if I push forward enough, you're going to recognize it, and then you're going to want to push forward too, or join me in pushing forward. That's how I pretty much look at all aspects of life.
That's wild. So, and when did you start the juice bar?
I want to say 13 years ago now.
13 years. So that's real, man. And that was really, man, y'all clap for that, man. Y'all got a salute. Because here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. You also got to think back, like, this is all good right now, right? But that wasn't really what the wave was at that time.
Not at all.
Like, what was that like getting that going?
When you know something is right and you believe in it, you're supposed to do it. So, like I said, like, that's a part of big reason me not falling into people, you know, against the pushback. Because if you lead by example, like, when you know, shout out to my partners, Nigel and Juice Lee. When we opened the first one, we didn't see us open multiple. We was just working on changing right there and advancing. But through us believing in what we're doing, and when you put people pushing back out of your mind and you just work on pushing forward, it seems to pan out, because a lot of homies wasn't with it. Like, that was the last thing. But I was with it because during my first album, I end up going to the county pen for about 10 months. I knew I was very intelligent, but had to figure out why rage, my ego, my pride would take over. I had to come to the conclusion it had something to do with how I was, you know, the neighborhood I was raised in, having a chemical imbalance. Had to figure things out on my own. So once I got to that point and then seeing how things are operated in affluent neighborhoods, it kind of all hit me at once and said, this is the formula. And plus there was, you know, greater men than myself that already led the way. God bless the dead, Dr. Zebby. God bless the dead, Dick Gregory. This information was already out.
Yeah.
I'm not the creator of the information.
Right.
I'm not the creator of fruits and veggies, herbs and oils. But I did have the opportunity with being in hip hop to say I could either use my voice for something I believe in and be willing to go against the grain, take the push back and just keep pushing forward, or I could keep silent and just watch what I know shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, yo, bro, like, you look around, especially if you come from a poor neighborhood, you look around, you see nothing but McDonald's. I mean, not to knock McDonald's, but pizza shops, Chinese food, liquor stores, Burger King's, Wendy's. You don't see a lot of the holistic food spots. You don't see a lot of juice bars. You don't see, but when you go to the more affluent neighborhoods, you don't see that as much. Like, they're there, but it's not as much. Right. So kind of putting two and two together said, all right, if there's nothing wrong with it if you want to do that, but what about the balance part? So it was really on starting to work on just being balanced and understand, all right, you may be on a roll, you may have a fast food Monday and Tuesday,
right,
but you could balance that out Wednesday and Thursday if you,
yeah,
you know, want to take that approach. So that was really the mindset.
It's ill, because, like, it's not even like you're just, you know, taking that lifestyle on, and not even that you're just spreading it to your community, but you're also really taking it to the next level and seeing that, you know, the more of a bullhorn that you shout this from, the better off it'll be. So I saw the collaboration with you and Daniel Ohm from 11 Madison Park.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all clap on that one, too. Yeah. That's pretty major. So, like, to really bust this down for y'all, I want to say there's only, like, what, 19 three Michelin star restaurants in the United States. And I don't know how many of them have received it 11 years in a row. But the three Michelin star award is basically the defining best fucking restaurant you could find award, basically. So, you know, and then they recently went all vegan in like 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just amazing to see. And that was a big thing in that world. So now the fact that, you know, you're collaborating with them is like, is crazy, man. So how did that all come together?
Energy. I really want to say energy. Went to 11 Madison one day, and I actually, it was so high end and so hard to get in that one day I forgot I was supposed to go somewhere with my wife, and I just went to one of them apps. I think it's Talk. Yeah. Is Talk an app?
Yeah,
I went to Talk, and it happened to be open. I was supposed to do something good as a husband, and I didn't. Then I was like, you know what?
It was a guy Talk,
yeah, and I seen it. No, it was just like, let me do something good. Then I seen it, and I'm like, boom, let me just book it. And I honestly thought from, you know, their high praise, you know, if you're in the world and you know about them, it's like the only plant-based Michelin star restaurant. They get very high praises, very hard to get in. I just happened to book it. I caught it, just booked it. And I'm like, all right, we're going there. And we went there and we had the best time. Like, I it was so high end that I thought it was a dress code.
Yeah.
I was addressed and I went, and everybody was kind of dressy. So I went and apologized to the host. I'm like, you know, I didn't mean to not come dressed up. And it was like, it's no dress code. And I'm like, it's no dress code. Everybody looks so nice. And then just from being there, meeting the staff, meeting Chef Hoom, and all his counterparts, we just immediately just clicked. And I believe when you live a, you know, when you just live a lifestyle, I love Chef Hoon because he's very down to earth.
Yeah.
And he's about the movement and giving back to people. So we just had a good time. We connected. We, you know, we stayed in touch. And we thought about something where we could have, we touch the whole plant-based world. Because, like I said, people have a stigma when it comes to living healthy. They even think it's for tree huggers, granola people, extremely rich white people, or Caribbean black people. We start thinking we're not educated enough to live a healthy lifestyle, or you have to look a certain way or be a certain part. Like, I'm a firm believer that health is exactly for everybody. It shouldn't be put in a box. You shouldn't be worried about, like, as a plant-based person, I have to say, your first few years of being vegan, like, vegan people could come off very obnoxious. Like, let's be, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Dead serious. They'll make you feel like you don't know enough.
Yeah.
You're not fighting for the animals, and you're not saving the bees and the dolphins, and you got to wear onxes and have natural hair. You can't wear designer stuff. And
no deodorant.
No deodorant. It was like
the crystal shit.
It was like, it's so many boxes. And then when you start thinking as an individual, you shouldn't have to be put in a box to feel great. Nobody should be able to say you have to look like them, dress like them, talk like them, or be as educated as them to want better for yourself. And to work on balance. Balance just comes with being you and trying to find a better way to be you instead of worrying about what everyone else is saying. So having that in mind, it was like, I want to make sure that we get out that plant-based lifestyle is, I don't care if you're from the projects. I don't care if you're from a farm. I don't care if you, you know, where you're from, what you're doing. If you want to be healthy, even not even being plant-based, like a healthy lifestyle is for you. Like, I'm a plant-based person, but I'm not the creator. I'm pretty sure when he made animals, he knew some of y'all was going to eat animals. So I get out the point of being obnoxious and pushing my lifestyle on people and learn to get to the point of just saying, as a human being, we should all just want to spread good energy and do the best you can do to be the best you could be. And then that education comes with understanding. Most of us, everybody in here looks very fucking nice tonight, I may say. Think about how you took that time out to look nice. Think about how you know where your shirt's from, your pants from, your watch, your jewelry, your sneakers, your shoes. Think about your hygiene, how many times you wash the outside of your body. Then when you start thinking about the inside, we're not taught to take care of the inside the same way. So all of these things playing part in my head at once led me to be here. So the collaboration was to say, this lifestyle and this eating plants and living plant-based is really for everybody, and you don't have to be put in a box. You could be from the Bronx, Yonkers, a poverty-stricken neighborhood. You could be from Beverly Hills, Scarsdale, the Hamptons, and be about that life. It's not for anyone in particular. Health is for everybody, and that word has to be spread. And it's not just about being plant-based, but it's just about, as people, we should want the best for other people. That's really the your inner soul. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like nice shit. You know what I mean? I'm rather bougie, I must say. I like events like this. I like expensive things, but I'm also very grounded and rather help my people and people out, period, when it comes to just living balance. So the collaboration comes of saying you could be a Michelin star chef and you could be from the hood and a rapper in hip hop, and you could have a connection if that energy is the same and you want the same for people. And why put it in a box, or why put yourself in a box? You're supposed to connect with people who's from your soul tribe, no matter where they're from. If you have the same belief systems, same goals, and you want the same thing, energy sort of manifest and put you in the right place with people who are doing the same things that you're doing. That's how it came about. And my wife saying this, something great's going to come about. I mean, like, shit, you're right, lady. You're right, my queen.
It's wild because, like, and the dope thing is it's very accessible also. Y'all make sure y'all can just Google it. It's super available online. 11 Madison Home. They also got some very good granola, too. That shit is slapping.
The granola's crazy.
The granola's crazy.
It's crazy, the granola. Yeah. So
definitely, you know, pick that
but
up.
But I was really amazed by them, too, because it also taught me a valuable lesson and what I do and what I'm about. So to be around someone who's achieved a certain amount of success in a certain way, and to see them humble themselves and go about feeding homeless people, you know, things of that nature, it kind of says, all right, I'm in the right place, doing the right thing, and I'm around the right people. So shout out to Chef Home and the home, the whole 11 Madison Park.
Nah, he's super ill, yo. He's ill.
Yes, he is.
Damn, man. Wow, that's crazy, yo. It's amazing to see how these worlds are coming together. I feel like part of, like, what we're trying to accomplish here today.
We are accomplishing here
today. But y'all know this is wine and hip hop, y'all. So we gotta get on some hip hop shit. We got some wine here. This is the pairing that I came up with today. So for today, we're gonna be drinking the Lafette Blanc, right? And the guy that owns this brand is this dude I rocks with, my man Donnie Burstone. He is the first black man to own a winery in Provence.
Oh, that's dope.
Which is super ill. He's partnered also with Chris Paul. So we pouring this tonight. Y'all also going to get a chance to sip on this as well. But I thought of this pairing because one of the joints, you know, I make a Black History playlist every year. And every year it ends off with Styles P, I'm Black.
No doubt. No doubt.
And it always ends up, and it's just so dope because, you know, it's this sense of pride in embracing who you are and understanding you great for who you are. You know, also when I think of you, I think Black entrepreneurship. You know, you think everything that we talking about right now is out the box shit. Like, first of all, these is like the new Yankee hats, yo. This no bullshit.
Hey.
I've been wearing this shit every day since I bought it. You know what I'm saying? It costs more than the Yankee, but it's worth it. I promise you. Like,
it's rare.
It's so worth it, man.
We trying to run them numbers up, y'all. You want to help grow the brand? Subscribe to the YouTube right now. Be the first to check out new episodes of Taste and Notes from the Streets, our fire visual and event series where we pair our favorite foods from the hood with different wines from around the world. I mean, if you only listening to the podcast, you're only getting half the fun. So subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to our YouTube. One.
I just love to see everything that you're doing and how you expand and shit, man. But you know it's wine and hip hop, so we gotta get into some rap shit.
Yeah, come on. You know? Let's go.
So
do we cheers?
Oh, we got a toast, man.
Hey, let's make a toast to greatness and health. Yeah. Wine and hip hop forever.
Yes, sir. So, rap shit, man. Alright, y'all, I'm gonna ask.
That's good.
You rock with it?
That is good.
Yo, nice, easy drinker. So the thing about this is...
This, like, black-owned?
Black-owned, man. Ooh, black-owned, feeling baby. That. You know what I'm saying? And the
Am I holding it right?
So just hold... Uh-oh. Who want to tell him? All right, my man lied.
You got to show me this.
So why should he be holding the stem?
So you don't warm the wine up.
Hey, we got some. Ooh. So yeah, so
holding the stem. See, I'm from the 80s. Holding the stem. Sound like crap. You got to hold the stem. I'm fucking with you. So you don't warm the wine up.
Yeah, so this wine is coming to you at ideal serving temperatures. But yes.
I mean, I'm plant-based, but is white for like fish and poultry and red for steak?
Oh, man. It's so all over the place. We can have a whole show about that.
See, yeah, I don't
like think about it this way.
I don't know.
Sometimes it's also situation, right? Like milk could be great in the winter, but it would suck in the summertime. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's situational where you
what kind that, of milk? Gonna, I mean, I hope you mean oat or almond. Don't drink regular milk, y'all.
No regular milk. No. Regular
don't drink regular milk. I'll tell you that now. Holy shit, please.
But. Nah, man. And also, like, wines, no matter the color, have different textures. Some heavier, some are lighter. So okay. All different things, man.
Do you swirl it before?
Most definitely. This, right? Get you a nice
a swirl and smell?
Let's see. Styles know what's up. Styles be at them wine tastings, too.
I've been at a few joints. Like, I've been a Hennessy tasting, and they pulled out the expensive shit, and they called it Richard. I said, that's Richard. Rich people always pronounce the shit, throwing a little extra twang on it. It's the Richard Hennessy. How do you spell that? Man, that's Richard.
There's another one. There's a Burgundy producer, Loire. I see my man James back there. He know he be drinking that Loire. Yo, Loire. It looks like Leroy. No bullshit. I mean, yo, let me get the 98 Leroy right there.
Yeah, that's that's Leroy. Leroy.
Like the first 5-6 years of my career, I was calling that shit Leroy. No bullshit.
Leroy?
Like, okay. So
is it spelled Leroy? Leroy?
Yeah, it's spelled Leroy.
Yeah, that's like it's like a white person named Tarek. It's Tark.
Oh, man. But nah, rap shit, man. So we talk preparation, patience. I could not sit down with you and not talk to you about the Versus battle. I have to. So here's the thing with the Versus battle. Personally, I feel like it's the greatest moment ever in hip hop. That Dipset Lox battle, hands down. And I'll tell you why. Yeah, y'all clap on that one. I'll tell you why. So prior to that, I felt like the Jay-Z Summer Jam screen was the best moment because that shit was just crazy. Like what, I mean, he brought out Michael Jackson after that. It was just too much. Like, for what it meant, I remember getting that fucking K Slate tape where before Takeover was out, and you know what I'm saying? Like, so I think about what that moment was, and that's something that's hard to top because it was so natural. It was right there, it was right. And it was ill because it was like no bloodshed over it. It was nothing, but it was real. It was aggressive. It was fucking hip hop. It was the battle. And Dipset and the Lox brought that back. And it was even more peace, and it was even more brotherly love. But it was chippy as fuck.
Get chippy, man.
You know, but it was still love, though. It gets chippy, you know what definitely. I'm saying? But it was all, and you love could tell
those.
It was
those
love.
Are our brothers.
Exactly. You could tell it was love. But I like the way that y'all didn't hold back. Like, it was really like a boxing match almost.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure. For
and
sure.
It had that energy. It felt like that. Even did you look at people in the audience, it felt like motherfuckers felt like they was front row at like Frank Lucas at the fight type shit. You know, was that was the vibes it gave off.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And you
of
think
energy.
About how many times in your lifetimes a moment like that happened in history that you could say you watched on TV and saw, or like when that moment happened, there wasn't no cameras and shit. I heard the K Slate tape and I was hype. So all that said, the outcome was something that I felt was going to happen. I felt that was going to be the outcome. And I thought that because, like, I know the Lox performance game is crazy. And so much of that Versus shit is performance, picking songs, understand how to work the crowd. Dipset's amazing. But it's just also, they're all very separate and they're not as in sync as you three. Yeah. You know? So coming in, I was like, okay, I kind of saw that this was going to happen. But, like, so much of that is preparation, right? I mean, at least I thought. For me, it looked like y'all prepared for fucking years. Obviously, you had just by rocking. But can you tell me about, like, once the moment y'all signed and knew that y'all were doing that, what was your preparation like from there on?
To put it in use, the preparation that we've done for our whole lives, but just throw a little focus on it. It was like if you stay on a hamster wheel doing something, and this applies to regular life. Like sometimes in life, not just then, just in period in life, you do something and you don't, I guess, you know, how do you put it? Flowers, or people don't give you your flowers or your accolades or you just do and you bust your ass at something. Sometimes you just got to keep working and know it's going to come. Like, you know what I mean? For us, it was more so we didn't expect the results to be like that because prior to, no verses results were like that. It was more of us looking at verses, seeing what happened and as a group going in. We're going to even more so than worrying about beating Dipset because no one had really won a versus from there. It's just you leave with saying who you thought won and you still love each other. You still love who you love. But for us, it was more so analyzing what happened with all the verses before us, watching how everybody else went in and going in saying we want to show the kids our craft, what we really do, what we've been doing since we got here. Like we know our shit. If you ever been to a Lock show, you know we know our shit. If you ever seen us work in the studio, you know we're passionate about it. We're passionate about the craft. So it was just about showing craftsmanship to the youth, which was our really main focus and having the crowd understand what it takes to do this. Because even watching the other verses, no disrespect to the other artists, but they put in so much work, but they make it look cool to the point where you don't understand how much work they put in. Yeah. We wanted to kind of show people the work that if we grab a mic, we get on the stage, we're going to perform. It's the same show, same shit during a regular show. There's always a bunch of dope artists on the bill, and you don't want to get on that stage and not give the crowd their money's worth. Mm. We do that as a group, and all of us do it as solo artists. So if you paid to see me, whether it was a whole arena or this amount of people in this room, I'm going to give the same amount of energy and percent work-wise. I'm going to do my best to give 110% so you can leave saying, I enjoy myself. That person respects their craft. Mm. They go hard with it and just, you know, watch what we do. So we had really just planned to show the work. Show the work more than anything. Show kids what it's like to actually be able to perform what you're doing. Not just have the record play and look cool during it. Like we know this.
That breath control ain't easy.
Man. Yeah, no, it's not. It's
Yo,
not.
I heard somebody said the best way to train is like spit your verse while running on the treadmill.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even as an MC, cardio is very important because you are getting on stage. So, like a lot of MCs, they do a lot of, you know, they do a lot in the booth. Even as MCs, like most people don't know what this means, but we don't punch. Mm. So that means if I didn't get that verse when I'm going into the studio and I could get to 95% of it and fuck up, let's do it again. I got to go all the way back until we get it to that 100%. Wow. So even with that being said, that's like, it's certain things as an MC people don't know or people don't see. Like that's called the craftsmanship. That's where working on your craft comes in to go, all right, we have a rehearsal now. We ran through 20-something songs, but shit, four of them wasn't great. Mm. Let's get these four. Let's get this down, packed, and then we're all pushing each other to make sure we get to that point. Nice. Like, you know what I mean? And that right there is where the craft comes in, and you can't about your craft. Just that comes with anything you do. I don't care what field of work it is in life. The person who does great is the person who puts in the work with their craftsmanship. Mm. And sometimes you don't get your flowers or accolades early. Sometimes you don't even get it when you're alive. There's people who've done great things in life and haven't gotten them flowers or accolades till they passed on, and then people got to see how meaningful what they were doing was. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, we're grateful to get it this lifetime. You know, so that's cool.
Like I said, man, I personally think that was the greatest moment in hip hop, man, because like, yo, the battle is so important to hip hop, stage, like all of it. It had all of the elements, you know.
And nobody been outside for a while since then. That had a lot to, That had a lot to do with it. The energy. I mean, with it being New York City, and plus, I felt like all the other verses were, although it involved New York, as in New York versus New York sometime, this was New York versus New York in a bigger magnitude, showing for the world. Like, you know what I mean? And everybody had been inside. You know, COVID changed our lives around in a major way, which a lot of us still probably won't even process to a few years down the line. Like, everything has really changed. And that's how, you know, why certain moments become special in life become, because they come at certain times where it was needed. And I think more so the battle was kind of needed for that time in hip hop, and probably the rest of them were kind of on a softer note. Yeah. A more calmer note. No, you know what I mean?
The Jeezy and Gucci one, that has some,
yeah, that was
that
tough.
Had some elements to it.
That was tough. Definitely, that was tough.
There was a point, I see some niggas shifting on the side of the stage.
That was definitely tough.
I knew that side of the stage shift where it's like, let me, you know what I mean? There was some
that
moments.
Definitely was tough.
There was some moments there, you know what I mean? But that was definitely an ill moment. But nah, like I listened to even like your last album, the Wolf joint.
Con Wolf is still a wolf.
The bar work on there, you could tell like how seriously you still take your craft. Like
she rock Vera, me, I'm Alexander Wayne out. Not that clear if I'm insane or sane now.
Not that clear.
Cause see the sunshine and the rain now. I can feel a loss in the game now. Say now, had a baby on the way now. I've been strapped up like get down, I lay down. No school zone, no shells in the playground. I don't fuck around, I don't sniff what I weigh, clown.
What keeps you excited, you know what I'm saying, when you're getting in the booth?
I love my craft. Words are powerful. Some of the most powerful things on the planet is the way we communicate, express love, war, hate, fear, enjoyment. Communicating, so just to be able to reach people through words means a lot for me. It's also my personal therapy. I'm half batshit crazy. you know what I mean? So I love rhyming. I've always loved it my whole life. So to be able to make a living off of playing with words and to be able to touch people and share energy through words, it keeps you in a certain place, and it's brought me to everywhere I've been in life, to be honest with you. Yeah. You know, so I'm grateful to be in the craft. As a youth, especially coming from Yonkers, when we got on, nobody had ever came from Yonkers. So to hear, you know, the five boroughs shouted out and to be neighbors with Mount Vernon, God bless the dead, they had Heavy D. Mm. New Rochelle had the Brand Nubians. Yonkers, we had DMX, which was a legend. God bless my brother. Word. Before he even got on. Word. But we wasn't on at the time. So you hear everyone getting shouted out all over, and it kind of put a chip on our back to say, you know, we're going to make it. And then to actually make it and to have the world embrace you is always giving me the drive to keep going. You know, that was my second to last solo album. My next one will be, I'm not quitting, but I'm definitely laying back as a solo artist. So wordplay is major for me. As hip hop has evolved and going on and grew bigger and got into multiple different genres, lyricism may not as be important to the world as it used to be. But I think lyricists keeping in their heart to stay lyrical and provide that, knowing that. So I'm just a passionate guy, and it's all about the catalog. When you leave, I always wanted to be able to say I've had a hell of a catalog when I go out. So my time here, I worked on making sure I had a hell of a catalog.
It is me versus me, G versus G, cause if I die, you ain't gonna rebirth me. If I lose it all, you ain't gonna reimburse me. I'm in God's house, but I ain't never had a church key. You in the mud, if you got the drip, where the dirt be? Yeah, they hydrated, behind Enos, they are thirsty. Every time I say a verse, it's sorta like I'm verse me. Yeah, I'm gifted, but God bless, they done curse me, yeah. You can pray, or you stay where the demons are. Moving in a European, might move to Europe or take a trip, cause out here you dead if you breathing wrong.
Do you still see a few more holes in that catalog you want to fill?
Yeah, I'm gonna make my last, not really, but not really, to be honest with you. I feel for my age group and the people who came in, if you look at my body of work, I'm not talking about the accolades from it or how much it sold, how much it didn't sell, but just of laying out a body of work, I felt I've laid out more than enough. I don't know how many. I think I have 17 solo albums. Lord knows how many mixtapes. I probably have the most collabs as a solo artist. So I want to do other things in my life. I have, you know, Juices for Life. I have Pharmacy for Life. I've written one fiction novel. I want to write a few more. My partners, Poobs and myself, we write scripts. So there's other things I want to do. So I felt I've done enough. And I'm just retiring as a solo artist, but I'm still make Lox music and collab music. But I feel I've done enough, to be honest with you. And the shit is like, yeah, I feel like I put a ton of work in. Like, so there's a few more things I want to do. And but I'm a firm believer in going out on your own terms, not on other people's terms. And I'm not I don't feel the need to do too much more as a solo artist.
Yeah.
I feel now I have the need to grow as an individual, as an entrepreneur, as a person in the health field. I want to keep growing. And to make solo albums, it takes a lot. For me, it takes a lot. And just to be
you
on
still do three verse songs.
I still
like,
do, yeah.
Like people gave up. Like people yeah, just still, do two you know, verses now.
So I still, yeah, yeah. Well, the two verses come from because people are trying to fit the algorithm nowadays. Like, a lot of things have to do with the algorithm, how social media works, how fast the world works. The average person, you probably, like if you're a young dude, you're making an album right now, you probably want to keep it 35 minutes and under, it has a replay value. You get through it quick. I would say even 28 minutes to 30 minutes, but I'm going to stretch and go 35. But that's why people don't do third verses, because the attention span of people and how much art comes out is much shorter than it used to be. Like, besides even the album length, think about it, depending on your age group. When I was younger, you would wait years for artists to come out.
Facts.
Like, and be waiting. And now artists, you know, a person, you may, it could be the greatest album of right now. Somebody's playing that shit for a month.
Yeah.
And then moving on. Like, you know what I mean? You could drop an album. If I drop the new album today, right under my timeline, there's going to be at least 50 people going, when's the next one? I just dropped this shit today. Bro, when's the next one? How many times did you play it? Like, so I think the algorithm on how fast things are working forced people to shorten the music up and make people pay attention to it and get the replay value. But that's all kind of shit why I want to retire too.
Yeah.
I ain't thinking about that kind of shit. I'm a do that third verse. If I feel it, I'm doing it. I'm gonna do what I want creative wise. So, you know, and it's about understanding how fortunate enough I've been. Like, you know, like I said, you compare my catalog to a lot of people my age, I'm lapping a lot of dudes or double lapping a lot of dudes. But also I'm 48, to say I've been relevant since my 20s is a blessing. You know what I mean? So I'm going to now
y'all can clap direct, for that. Yeah.
You know, direct when I'm spending my time, especially that I'm doing other things now in life.
Yeah.
You know?
So I got to say, man, like, so and I'm glad to be chopping up with you. I got one question. I want to take a few questions from the audience. My son is 16, right? I remember when I was 16, you know, driving around Mount Vernon, listening to Lox, doing stupid shit. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Basically. That's really what's you know what I'm saying? In a sob.
Yeah.
Riding by Mount Vernon High School.
He was riding good.
Yeah. You know, I think about what the subject matter was that I was a part of, like, you know, the things we did at that time. And my son now, the age, when I was listening to that shit and I started moving around and doing things, you know, and I have my opinion on it. I know how I have to talk to him about that stuff. And,
yeah.
But how do you wrap your head around the artist of today and the subject matter? Like, understanding, like, all the shit I just said, right? Me and my son listen to Nardo Wick, and I'm cringing. Like, you know, I'm like, damn, it's just rough. But at the end of the day, that's what I'm listening to anyway. You know what I'm saying?
So it's just it's a different time and put in a different way. And then you have to look at how times are. Like, people often ask me how I feel about today's subject matter and how I feel about the artists. It's really how you handle your household as an individual and how you handle your life and how you handle your relationships, because everyone's relationship is not the same to lay out a basis of how to go. I don't particularly know how you communicate with your son, but it's best to communicate on an open accord. Like, people ask me how I feel about drill, and I go, well, my generation is responsible for that. I think a lot of people, we look at the younger generation, we don't quite understand them all the time, and we pass judgment along. I work on practice and balance as much as possible. So before I even start judging the kids who just make the drill music, I get to looking at the whole picture and go, am I judging the radio also? Am I judging the record label also? Am I judging, you know, people who came from my era? Am I judging Instagram, Twitter, and all the things these kids have to deal with, and what looks hot? Because it's even beyond music, because sometimes we as brown folks too, we put ourselves in a box that other people put us in without looking at the whole world, without looking at what's the latest movies and how is it moving the kids, what's the latest video game, how is it moving the kids. So it's more so looking at time and everything that's happening, even besides gangster shit. Let's just, like, I would cringe right now if I was I wouldn't know what to do as a father right now if I had little ones, because everything is hypersexual nowadays more than when I grew up. Everything's hyper everything now. So it's kind of like, how do you play the balancing act? One is you have to observe the time period you're in, what's going on, and then figure out how to communicate and how to get certain things across. Like, even so, there's times where, you know, as much as I've grown and as much as I've done, and there's certain people who's still going to see 96 styles and think that's who they're relating to, 98, 2000. Like, there's some people who don't grow with you or understand that you're growing, and they see one thing. So you have to even figure out how to communicate with those people, let alone your own household, your own kids. So it's just about having open communications and knowing what's going on in the world and, you know, kind of playing a fine balancing act of what do you do as a parent, like, you know what I mean? And what, like, that, like, when I came up, you was either on pot or alcohol.
Yeah.
Now kids is on lean pills, all kind of, you know, certain shit. I came from an era where you were scared to be a druggie. Yeah. Now we're in an era where it's cool to be a druggie. So, you know, even with this nowadays, parents have to learn to navigate in a new way. Because it's not the same things that we faced or the parents of years ago faced. It's a whole new beast. So you have to really just go about the times and go understand why the kids are the way they are, why they're doing the things they do, and then also introduce them to new shit so they see the balance. Like, that's where it all comes in play, because when you introduce them to balance and other things, it sort of works. Like, me as a thank God to my wife, you know, and myself, we said when we were raising our kids, we was going to do better than our parents did. We was going to work on doing better, which every generation is supposed to do. So shit changes. You got to change along with it, but you also want to be able to communicate with your son and your daughter and have them be honest with you. Right. Like, one thing I've always been grateful for, my mom always told me, even when I was younger, I don't care what you do. I don't care how bad it's going to be. Don't be afraid to communicate and tell me.
Tell me what it
is. Like, you know what I mean? Tell me what it is, and we'll figure it out together. So I kind of always cherish that. And, you know, thank God to have a South African moms. But, you know.
With that on the opposite side, though, like, what do you tell those artists that, you know, feel the pressure of fitting in and, you know, relating to that?
Fuck other people. Well, fuck what other people think. Basically, you got to teach your kid early, artists, kids, children, family, fuck what they think if you know it's not right. Go with your gut, follow your brains, follow the good people that work for you. A lot of us, especially nowadays, like, I feel the pressure. the pressure this generation has on it is much more than the pressure my generation had on it, because I didn't have Instagram. I didn't have Twitter coming up. I didn't even have a fucking, when I was coming up, you had to yell at the window or knock on the door and go, hey, Miss such and such, can such and such come out? Now you could just reach anyone. So these kids, they're dealing with the pressure of their immediate friends, their school, their media environment when they step out the door, and Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or whatever new shit there is. They got all of that shit in one. So the plate we had, it's like quadruple their plate. So you have to teach them early, I guess, to be confident in themselves, confident in doing the things they want to do, be confident in growing and enjoying yourself, and be willing to say, fuck what society is saying if I know that's not for me. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Be comfortable in being yourself.
Right. Wow, that's crazy. All right, my last question, man, I got to ask. I could not. Who is your top five dead or alive, man?
Oh, don't do that to me.
Nah.
Don't do that to me, man.
Just to make it interesting.
Don't do that to me.
I got to throw. And look, here's the disclaimer. My top five changes twice an hour.
Mine's changed, but I like to say even it's different top fives for different eras. Like, you know what I mean? Important. What I call the grandmasters of what we do would be Rakim, Kool G, Kane, KRS. They birthed all of everyone's top five. Mm. Whether that goes to Big, Nas, Mobb Deep, ourselves, Wu, yada, yada, yada. Then that translates to whether you get to Weezy, J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, whoever you're saying it all, I feel it, you know. And then you can't leave Run out, Run DMC out. You can't leave Public Enemy. Then it's Stetsasonic, Ultramagnetic, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, N.W.A. So it's hard to say what's top five, but I always consider the grandmasters of what we do to be the four gentlemen I named, along with Chuck D. For me, like, you know what I mean? Those are who birthed all of the favorites. Like, you know what I'm saying? Then you got your, it's so many, man. Hip hop is such a beautiful genre that is, it's incredible. Like, you know what I mean? If you look from back then to now, it's changed the world in such a way that it's even hard to just say five people. Like, you know what I mean? This is a beautiful thing we have. It's a lot of beautiful artists. It's a lot of people who have impacted lives. Then it's people who impact you in different ways, like Slick Rick. You know what I'm saying? It's the Jungle Brothers. It's just so many different people that have done different things. Cypress Hill, Big Pun, Big L.
L, gotta say.
You know, is X, like, who, how do you, especially when you live a life of hip hop, you kind of live by the moment. So you kind of, as years go on, you remember certain things that did certain things for you.
Yeah.
At certain time periods. So I like to stay away from the list, but I always like to pay homage to the grandmasters.
Of course. Yeah, like that question is such a, like, it's one of them things that kind of lets you know what powers some people, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the things that are your favorites are so much of, like, where we take from and build our personality.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember thinking rap couldn't get any better after hearing, like, Rakim, KRS, Kool G, and Kane. I didn't even think. But look what they spawned. They spawned the Nas's, the Biggies, the Hoves, the Mobb Deeps, the Us. Like, so rap just keeps growing and growing. Then it's always some ill generation of lyricists that are just kind of, like, crazy.
Doing new shit, man. Well, here you have
it, y'all. It's the most wine I've drunk in years. It's a good wine right here. What's the name of this?
This is the Lafette Blanc.
So I do a lot of things wrong. Don't worry about it.
Yo.
Look, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us here today. I cannot
thank you.
Summarize that on this stage.
Thank you.
This is absolutely legendary.
Thanks for having me. It's been dope.
You know, I hope you all had a great time as well. You know what I'm saying? So, one time, y'all, is here for Mr. Styles P the Ghost.
Yeah.
Salute.
This was a moment in Wine and Hip Hop, brought to you by Crew Love.